you're listening to this Vital MTB Tech Talk through a podcast app, be sure to visit vitalmtb.com to see photos and learn more details about what's being discussed here. Bike nerds rejoice.
All right, we've met up with Elliot Jackson after testing. Jacob was just giving it a run the other day, but I was speaking with Elliot and he had a fair bit he wanted to share. So we're hanging out, just kind of on some comfy couches here. And Elliot, you got a lot to say about this tech. You know, you're benefiting from it. You're really utilizing it. And Dave is really pleased with, you know, how testing is going from what he said. And, you know, we just want to know, what's it like using it? You know, does it benefit you actually? You know, have you seen differences in your riding and your abilities? And do you think that there's room for improvement or anything of that nature? Just have at it.
Yeah, I think it's kind of seen as one of those things that's like a magic bullet almost. You know, it's like, oh, this guy is using telemetry. Like, I need to use that for like something, but it's kind of just a tool. And so like, if you don't have any questions to answer, then it's not going to do much for you. Dave and I got a chance to use it a lot earlier this year. We spent a week in Wales. Kind of, it was cool because we got to spend a week going to all these tracks without it, and then another week going to the same tracks with it. And it's kind of, for us, it's about making the process faster. So when you go to a World Cup, you really have like 4 runs before you need to be up to speed, ready for time practice, and the bike needs to be working good. And it's kind of difficult to get up to speed and have the bike working good going from like a track like Fort William to Leogang. And so the more like seamless you can make that process, the better. And so with the telemetry, you get to not go down the wrong path. So there's a lot of things where a good example was like when we were testing in Llangollen, and I needed more like front end grip, and it was understeering at the exits of the turns, and it was oversteering at the entries. And so the most logical thing to do would be to like go softer on the compression or go lower at the front end. But if you do that, then you're farther over the front for the steep track, and so you don't really want to do that. So like one of the things that we did, like seeing the telemetry, we saw that the back end was a little bit low. And so we actually went up a click of compression in the rear, and then went softer on the spoke tension in the front. And so what that did was gave us, like, it didn't change the turn in, which would be like the front entry corner, like steering. And it let the bike like sit up a little bit in the exits, and then didn't really change it for the steep stuff. And so you're like isolating this one part of the track, like the exits of turns. And you can kind of see that a little bit more, because there's a lot of different ways you could go to solve that problem. But like having the telemetry, you get to kind of isolate a lot of stuff.
That's really cool. And so, you know, obviously now your setup is a little more balanced then, and you can kind of have that more finite control, because now you understand also how to make even more minor adjustments down the line coming through the rest of the season. Leading into that testing, did you have any prior experience with the telemetry, or had you spoken with anybody about their use of it and perhaps like what to look for, or perhaps certain, I don't know, techniques about how to test effectively, like, you know, hitting corners repeatedly or that, anything like that?
I hadn't had any experience. It was funny, actually. I used to play this racing simulator, and they had telemetry readouts for the cars, and you could see what the braking curves look like and what like a braking should look like in a car. And so it was like really interesting looking at the telemetry data on a bike, and like with my braking, like when you look at it, there were so many spots where I was like hitting the brakes and then like letting off for half a second and then hitting him again and then like kind of dragging him a little bit, when like all of that whole thing should be just consolidated into one breaking point that looks similar to like a parabola shape. And so even like seeing that, I think it's getting to correlate like your feeling with what you're actually doing. There was like another instance where I was going through the track with the GoPro with the telemetry readout next to it, and it went through this one part and like it said I was braking, and I was like, man, like I really don't think I'm braking there. And I went back up for another run and like consciously made an effort not to brake there, and like I was definitely braking there because I like went through it like way faster and like got like a little out of control or whatever. But it just like kind of shows you a lot of the time where either, I think for the rider, for the mechanic, it's you look at a lot of the technical stuff, but for the rider, it really shows you what you need to work on, like in terms of braking, because you can see where the bike leans over, and if you're braking too late into a corner, like if you're coming into a corner and you're starting to lean the bike and you're still like fully on the brakes, then it's like, okay, well, maybe I should move my braking point back and try to get off the brakes a little bit earlier. Just a lot of the like fundamental stuff. I think like even though we're at a really high level, it really hammers down like those fundamental things that you need to be doing to go fast on a mountain bike, and really like lets you look at them with a fine tooth comb.
That's really neat. I think I now want to run telemetry data acquisition on my bike, which will never happen, and my riding will just be sketchy continually. You'd mentioned earlier, we were just kind of chatting along, about how you have some connections in the moto world, and you'd been speaking with someone there about their use of it currently, and that it perhaps gave you, an idea about what to expect when you were testing. Is that something of interest there?
Yeah, I talked to a few people. I talked to Michael Byrne, the team manager of the Butler Brothers team, and just about like what you would look at. And like we were at a point after that first week where I was like, man, like my bike is like feeling really good. Like, is there like, where do you go once you have your bike feeling really good? I have like another week to test, and I like get to use this data acquisition stuff. And he was like, well, you would want to like ride your setup for a while, because like if there's no, like I was saying before, if there's no problem to solve, then like you can't just be like, you can't really just go looking for it. And so it's like about getting time with the setup. And then he was also just saying like it just helps so much not going in the wrong direction, because for a rider, we can only give feedback that that we feel. But you can be, so if I'm coming into a corner and I'm saying like, okay, the right before I get into the corner, it's like the bike is getting unsettled and it's standing me up like right in the middle of the corner. And so just that little bit of feedback that could be like, oh, the suspension or the rebound is like too fast or the rebound is too slow. Like you could be at either extreme. And so when you have, when you're looking at the data, you can see like, okay, the wheel is like not coming all the way back out. Like you're not extending to full travel, so like we can try to go a little bit faster with the rebound and see what that's like, instead of just having to guess, because you have to make isolated changes. And unfortunately, it's not like a motorcycle where you can just go out and do a lap in 1 minute. We have like a limited amount of time. It's more like car racing, I think. So every single run is kind of important, and I think that was kind of what he was saying, is just like making sure that you're going the right direction, you don't go down the wrong path, and trying to like get the process fast, that way when you go to a race week, it's like, okay, you know, the bike is getting unsettled right before the turn and I'm getting stood up, so like we already solved that problem in testing. And so now when I give that feedback, that is like a specific thing that you would do in that situation, which makes it a lot better and faster and gives you more confidence and everything.
So has that preseason testing already showed its, you know, worth, being that we're now several rounds in to the current season?
at races like, you know, Leogang or Fort William, did you make adjustments based on that preseason testing and then the telemetry or data acquisition data that came back from those events as well? Did you see that there was a continuing theme of things you wanted to correct, or is it just that everything's so unique it sort of just depends on the venue?
Yeah, we used it at Lord, and I think it was a little bit too there's not enough time. Like, there was, we had it and we used it for all the way up until for the first day through time practice, and I crashed in Lord and got hurt, so like didn't really have a great race there anyway. But I think just trying to go and do a run, like I was saying, learn the track, like get up to speed, do like get your bike set up and look at this data in between these runs, where like in Lord especially you only have like maybe five runs during the day to get going. I think that was kind of the wrong thing to do. But that's not to say that like as we get better at it we won't use it again. I think it's just like kind of a practice thing. But I think it's, like I said, it's definitely helped like going to Fort William. I think like it showed there, like I've never really been that great of a Fort William rider, but like getting like first at the top split and qualifying and then like having a crash and like still getting 28th, like even if I would have got my qualifying split I would have been, you know, in 11th or 12th or something like that. And and so I think it like gave me a ton more confidence there. And and then coming into like the next races, I think it just gives you a little bit more of a starting point. I think there has to be a plan for riding as well as like a bike setup thing. One of the things that we did was have a plan for like settings, you know? And so like, because once we went to a new track, it was like, okay, this setting is is good for like first run speed or whatever. Like I think a lot of the people at the races, everyone at the races, like if you go out on the track and your bike is feeling bad, you have a crash, that kind of sets like the wrong tone for the whole week. And so why not try to get a setup like for the first run to give you like the most confidence you possibly could have and just make it easy to ride the track. And like that's the goal for the first run. And so you can just keep solving these little problems and just try to take variables out of the equation. I think it like helps with that and helps you give like some more objective kind of feedback.
That makes sense to me. Now, this is obviously not necessarily a new technology in general. The application to downhill mountain biking is becoming more, I guess, popular or common. Do you think that the system you are using with Dave has a distinct advantage over some of the other systems on other bikes? And do you think that going forward, this is going to become a commonplace thing, like for almost every team, including like grassroots, for future racing, I suppose?
Yeah, I think the with Dave's, like I'm sure he can explain it better, but with some of the other systems, I think you can only get actual position and not speed. So with Dave's, like you could get position and speed and say like, okay, what was like the meters per second on that hit? And for me, like I don't know nearly as much as Dave does or anything, so it wouldn't really make too much of a difference for me. I think like the most important thing for a rider is being able to see like braking, your lean angle and stuff like that, more riding things. But I think for some people it doesn't matter. Like there's plenty of people at the races who like don't need to solve these kind of problems. You know, like I was saying, it's like not a silver bullet, and if you just put it on, like, thinking that it will make you faster, I don't really think so. I think, like, and it's kind of an expensive thing to just say, I'm going to throw it on just to figure out where I'm braking at. But that, I think, as a rider is super important. For me, that's where I've gotten the most benefit of it, out of it. I think for development, it's really, really, really important. You hear two people talking about, like, the rear end of this bike is too flexy, or, like, the frame is too flexy, or these tires or wheels, and, like, I don't know how they're getting that. You know, like, I just think it's even for me, and even doing, like when I was at Days, we did, like, over 100 runs. We would do, like, 15 runs a day, and once you got to run 13 and you're doing, all you're concentrating on is the bike and what the bike's doing and how it feels. After that many runs on the same track, then I would be able to feel, like, pretty minute changes, like a click here or a PSI there or whatever. But, like, to just get on a bike and say the rear end feels flexy, like, is that, like, are you feeling the tires? Are you feeling the wheels? Are you feel, like, how do you even know what a flexy rear end feels like compared to a stiff rear end, you know? And so I think the data can really, like, help in that sense, and it can help, I think, just showing you, like, how to isolate things, like showing you what spoke tension does in this situation, and showing you what a click of compression does in this situation, and being able to correlate the feeling that I feel, like, if my back end is, you know, or if I'm understeering out of a corner, like, how, what correlates to that in settings, like, what does it do to the exit steering when I add two clicks of compression? What does it do when I, like, loosen up the spoke tension? What does it do when I go down in PSI? What does it do, like, when you raise the rear end instead of lowering the front end? And so, like, all of these things you begin to correlate with, like, the feeling that you have. And I think a lot of people, like, would say, like, oh, it's, like, not really about feeling, it's about, like, the time. But I don't think, like, that was one of the things that Michael Byrne said, like, if you are riding a setup and you get a faster time on it and it's, like, not comfortable at all, then, like, why is that? Like, is that something that you need to learn to ride? Or if you were riding a good setup feeling that wild, like, you would probably be going faster, you know? Like, I don't really think it's necessarily about just, like, blindly testing until you get faster, because then you're not really trying to solve a problem. You're just, like, clicking knobs, doing times, and then saying, like, was that faster? And it's like, well, okay, well, no. Well, like, I'll put two more clicks in, and then what does that do? Does that make me go faster? And it's like, well, you're not really, you don't really have a goal. You're just, like, blindly just trying to make the bike do something that you have no idea, you know? So.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I think, you know, we all have that friend who just, it's like, oh, my bike feels terrible. PSI, turn clicks, like, new spring rate. It's like, oh, that's not so good. But, you know, with you talking about how it really is almost a gauge for your form on a bike, you know, your actual, you know, fundamentals, have you found since all of this, I mean, taking 100 runs on the same track, you know, 15 a day, or, you know, maybe switching it up on other tracks, have you found that your fundamentals have improved because you have, you know, these graphs to show you what you're doing correctly and incorrectly?
I mean, like, I think it definitely helps. Like, I think being able to at least have awareness of some stuff that I was doing, because, like I was saying about the braking, it's really easy to think, like, I was on the brakes and then I let off the brakes, when, like, in reality, maybe I was on the brakes and then I kind of let off the brakes, but I was kind of dragging him through the corner, or I was coming through this really fast section and I thought I was, like, no braking it, but I really, like, subconsciously kind of hit him. And so I think it's it's made me like conscious of that. Like when I really want to let off the brakes, I really try to let them off a little bit more now. Or, I mean, that's something I've always kind of struggled with, going, braking too late for turns, I guess, like coming from motocross, even though I've been riding a bike for a long time now. Like I always brake too late, and like in mountain biking, that's the worst possible thing you can do because you have no exit speed. And so like kind of seeing the data, it's like, oh yeah, like you still are really bad at that. Like you need to get your life together, and you need to like let off the brakes if you're gonna go that fast, or brake earlier or something, you know. I think it's hard to say like that this one thing is the reason for anything. It's just like another tool, but I like my bike does feel amazing. It's the best bike I've ever ridden. And I think that's a lot of just because like the amount of work that we've put into it. Like there's been a lot of like iterations from the first time I got on it in New Zealand, like whether that's, you know, in suspension and everything, like geometry and everything that's on the bike, or like we've been able to tweak and get right. And so I think that's really cool, and I think, you know, Dave has put in a lot of hard work, and I'm really appreciative of that. And it's cool to have someone that's like that.
I was pretty taken aback by his wizardry. Like I know Dave knows, I mean, more than I'll ever know, and he's probably forgotten more than I'll ever know as well. And you know, he obviously didn't tell me anything special. He would joke like, I can't tell you that. But and I'm not asking you directly about his wizardry, but are there things that he's shown you on the bike, you know, in correlation with the telemetry, like when we do this, it means this, and some of the more like, let's say, you know, mechanic secrets. Is there anything that he's shown you or taught you that you were just like, what got you to the point of even knowing that? Like just some crazy things that he's dropped knowledge about?
Yeah, I think it's amazing to have someone that is so knowledgeable and thorough and passionate about bikes, and that I think a lot of people in mountain biking don't realize how big of a deal the bike is. You know, having a good bike is huge, like huge, huge, huge. Like when you go, I mean, if you went all the way to the other end of the spectrum, like some motor, like NASCAR, like the driver is a huge deal, but it's also like about the team. Like Mitch Payton talked about that, and he was saying like, you know, in NASCAR and some other motorsports, like the team is kind of the result. And so he was saying like, you know, we in motocross, it's still a huge deal to have a great bike, and you see that with people getting on factory teams and getting great results, but it starts to shift more to the rider. And I think mountain biking is even more to the rider than motocross is. But that doesn't mean that there's no like gain to be had, and improvement to be made with the bike. You know, even if it's 80-20 bike rider, then, and you're only getting 10% out of your bike, like there's an extra 10% to get out of a bike that, and that's like an easy advantage to make. And so like with Dave, I think it's great. Like I'm really analytical, and like I enjoy thinking about that stuff, and like some of the stuff that he's taught me about, like the way the suspension works, and like some things that, you know, should be intuitive but like aren't really intuitive. And just like, I think the way maybe you'd get mad at me for saying this, but like he's Dave. But like even if you think about like the high and low speed compression, and like how people always go stiffer when you start going faster, and it's like, is that really what you should be doing?
He grilled me on that. He said to me, he goes, what input is correlated to low speed? And I was like, the rider? And he goes, good, all right, so we can talk about this.
Good luck tomorrow.
Just getting some good well wishes from some house guests real quick because we're hanging out. So it's funny. He looked at me and was like, I hope you understand what we're looking at. I was like, I understand the graphing. And he asked me that quiz question. He's like, okay. All right, so we can talk about this then. I'm like, yeah, all right. Like, he threw me in the gauntlet for a second. I was like, because I've been setting my bucks up backwards for years until literally like the beginning of the season because I sat down and read the material aggressively like you do as well. Bike nerds. It's so good.
Yeah, I think like it's just cool like thinking about like isolating stuff like I was saying at the beginning, like how do you isolate just the exit of a corner, like, and not mess with the entry and the middle and the way it handles over the bumps and the geometry when you're going down like a steep section. And because like if you just were to add a click of compression or take off a click or whatever, do rebound or whatever, like that affects everything. And so like you have to compensate for that by doing a bunch of other little tweaks to
yeah, man, can't give away all the trade secrets, right? You know, it's like everyone else has to put in their hard work. Yeah, I mean, it's just really cool to hear the rider's perspective on this as well, because I mean, you and Dave obviously work really closely on all this, and it's interesting to hear how you both have sort of said very similar things about all of this. And it's, you know, not just parroting one another, it's that there's this mutual understanding of what it takes to go fast. And I think that, as you said, there's a strong misnomer about just run it stiff and send it, you know, and it's like, well, that's not quite it.
Yeah. I think too, like, it's important that like not everyone would need to do this or whatever, you know? Like there's people like Dave, like Dave's favorite example is like Rossi, you know? Like he was winning like just the greatest of all time on Yamaha, and then he goes to Ducati and just can't do it. Like he can't win, he can't even like make a race without crashing, and then he goes back to Yamaha and he's winning again, or like, you know, he's on the podium. And so for even the greatest MotoGP dude of all time, like gets on a bike that doesn't suit him and just can't make it happen. And so like when you get on something that doesn't work for you, because it obviously works because Casey Stoner was crushing it on it, you know? And so like when Rossi got on it and it didn't work for him, you can't just say like, oh, well, it's you need to ride better or whatever, you know? Like you have to work on making yourself comfortable, and like somebody else, like, I don't know, like Bernard was really good about that. Like he would set the bike up how like he wanted to feel. You have two kind of different schools of thought where if you go to different tracks, you can either have the bike giving you the same feedback everywhere, meaning staying on the same settings, or you can try to get the bike to handle the best for that condition everywhere, you know, like for each different track. And Bernard would kind of just set his bike up and get used to it and just ride it like that everywhere, maybe doing like a couple little small things. And so for somebody like that who like wants to know his bike inside and out just the way it is, might not benefit from trying to like say like, oh, I'm at Fort William and at the second turn at the top, like my bike is understeering or whatever, you know. Like Bernard would maybe be able to make a riding change and correct that or whatever, you know. And so yeah, I think it's just like different personalities and different outlooks, and it's not to say that like we have everything figured out or that like this is gonna be the biggest thing ever or whatever. But I think you will start seeing as things like get more professional, more close, and you're trying to find that extra, you know, 5% to get from the 15 to 20, like how do we do that? And so you need to start being more objective and more thorough, and I think like looking at data is one of the best ways to do that.
It's all in the numbers, man. That's science, right?
It's science.
Right on. Now, going ahead into the second half of the season here, do you anticipate your current settings changing much, or do you think that due to the nature of the upcoming tracks that the system will tell you changes need to be made?
I think, like, right, I think it's, you kind of start from scratch every time you go to a race. Like, you can kind of make a judgment, I guess, when you walk it and say, like, okay, maybe I'll run spikes here or something. You know, this track's going to be, like, it's going to be wet or whatever. But I think doing too much before you get to somewhere is kind of the wrong thing to do, because you're solving problems that are not problems yet, you know? So you try to develop, like, a good base, and then it's all about the process. And like I was saying, like, trying to improve that process of getting to a setting that works. You know, one of the things, like, if a track is steep, you could start off by raising the front end or like softening the rear end or slowing down the rebound in the back. And so which path do you want to take? And so each of those paths will lead you down a different thing. Like, when you raise the front end, that means you're going to have less front grip, so then you're going to be searching for front grip. And so you can go down that path, or you can go down the rebound path. Once you slow your rebound down, then, like, you're going to be struggling, like, over the rough stuff to find, like, rear end grip and, like, stability and stuff, so you have to solve those problems. And so what testing does, and, like, what the data helps with, is, like, picking the right path from the get-go. And you don't necessarily have to have the data on at the race to go down the right path, but it's about putting in that time beforehand to say, like, okay, I know in this situation we tried to raise the front end and it probably wasn't the best idea, because, like, that led to a lot of other things. And then in a roundabout way, we ended up figuring out that, like, we needed to go down the rebound path or whatever. But at a race, you don't really have that luxury to do 10 runs or whatever just to get your bike working. You have, like, 3. And after those 3, you need to be up to, like, 90% pace. So, yeah, I think it's more about that than actually using it there.
So that preseason is actually perhaps almost more critical than anything else, because you've just developed a baseline with certain parameters. That means, like, route A, B, C, D, based on what you feel, sort of?
Yeah, for sure. I think, like, developing a plan to, like, start off with, and just knowing, and for Dave and I, like, knowing what does it mean when I say the bike's pushing at the exit of a turn. Because, like, for a different rider, that could mean a different thing. And so, like, for Dave and I to get a better understanding of, like, what each other's feedback means, what feedback he needs to hear, like, what I can leave out, like one of the things, like, it's hard for me to know what, like, rebound, like, too slow of rebound feels like in the back. And, like, kind of what we have now is just me saying, like, it feels out of control, like I'm flying off the track, because that's what usually happens. Like I'll just be riding and then I'll be getting out of control and I'll be like, man, like, I'm riding really bad or whatever. And like, one of the days that we were testing, like I was saying, that I was like, I don't, like, can't put my finger on, like, what it feels like, but I'm just like, I'm going in, trying to go in a straight line, and I'm just like, can't hold the line or anything, you know. And so we looked at the data, and, like, it was super clear that, like, the bike wasn't recovering. And so, like, you were able to correlate those things, even if it's something as, like, simplistic as me saying, like, the bike feels out of control, like, I can't ride in a straight line. And so Dave's like, okay, like, I've heard this feedback before, let's, like give me some other examples, like, what do you think about this section? And then it's like, cool, like, let's speed up the rebound. And so then, like, you can solve that problem really quick, and then you're on to the next run and you're, like, on the right track already.
That's really cool, man. Like, just having, again, sat in with him and Jacob and hearing the feedback and him
showing me the graphs and then hearing Jacob's feedback live, like, oh, I'm smashing the apex, but like I'm slow out, or if, you know, I felt like my hands hurt in the section. Those aren't direct quotes. They're listening to this. I'm not calling out Jacob as having weak hands. Don't worry, it's the opposite. But yeah, you know, sure. That sort of scenario, it's interesting to like hear your stories of that and how that's, you know, a problem being solved, and then being able to see it happen in front of me was just, it's really remarkable. And Dave's going to hook us up with some graphs and overlays of Jacob's head cam from the other day, and people can actually see what that looks like. And it's like, this is airtime, this is landing, this is corner, this is breaking bumps. And yeah, I think that's wicked. I'm trying to think of anything cool that you might want to tell me without like infringing on you know, some of the magic in it. But yeah, anything else?
I don't think it's like I said, it's like no like magic bullet or anything. I think it's just like practice for us, and it's like getting just like another tool to use, just like you would use anything else, like switching tires or like, you know, your bike or your pit or whatever. It's just something to try to make your job a little bit easier. And it's I think it's important for us to like get switch out of that, because like when you're testing and you're like so focused in on like how did the back wheel feel in this, like, okay, I hit this bump last run, like what did it feel last run, and like what did it feel now that we did this change, and you're just like so deeply focused on like these little minute details, because I think that's something that we as riders kind of struggle with a lot of the times. I remember like talking to Brendan a long time ago, and he was like, yeah, it's like it's hard to test sometimes, because as a rider you're like, man, like I'm not riding well, like, you know what I was talking about, the rebound thing. It's like, okay, I need to not get out of control, like obviously I'm riding bad, like I just overcooked this corner or whatever. But I think at this level, and like what he was saying is like, man, like we're too good for that to happen, you know, like I've done enough runs, and I've ridden the bike enough to where like I shouldn't just be making like this error, you know? And so like, let me kind of be a little bit confident here and say like, it's something that I could fix with the bike. And so I think like, it's just a constant effort to keep improving, just like you would keep in, like you're always trying to improve your fitness. You're always trying to improve your skills. It's not like you, any of that stuff ever stops, but like, why not take that same mindset and put it into the bike as well? And so like, then you're testing and you're analytical, and then once you go to a race, you're totally opposite of that. You know, you're totally like, I need to turn my brain off, and like, my bike's working well. I know it's working well because like, we did all the hard work, just like did all the hard work in the gym and everything else. And so then it's just about riding it. And so I think like that's one of the things that's been like really important, is just trying to go from analytical to like switch off, you know?
It's a funny switch like that, but I think that's really cool to hear. And I think it's a great leave off point, because, you know, we've covered a lot of territory, a lot to think about. And I think we've achieved a cool perspective from the rider's perspective. You know, you've filled us in. So thank you for your time, and look forward to seeing you take those base settings for a real spin in Andorra then.
Yeah, sounds good.
Rock and roll. Good luck, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for having me. This is amazing.